say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help when we need it. And Father, we need you to speak to every married couple who's in the room and those who are watching. And I pray in the name of Jesus that something will be said that will shift their relationship to another level. Something that will say it, Father, that will break off some hard areas of their hearts. And I pray that, Father, something will be said that will give them the faith to push through whatever they're going through. And I thank you in advance that as the word goes forth, signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow the word, because we're going to hear it, we're going to believe it, we're going to do it, and we're going to expect your blessings to come as a result of it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So for those of you who may not know it, or those of you who may be new, September is considered our relationship series month. And so for the whole month, everybody say the whole month. So for the whole month of September, we divide our church by relationship status. So this 9 o'clock service is actually designed to minister to legally and biblically married couples. You might say, well, what do you mean by legally and biblically married couples? Well, by legally, I mean that, you know, you have said some vows and you were married by a qualified officiant, and that you received a marriage certificate from the state you're watching from. Amen. Living together and being together for years and not having gone through that process doesn't count. That just means you are a long-term shacker. That's what that means. I'm going to be real, real nice this time, though. Now, when I say biblically, I mean that your relationship must fit the criteria that God's word outlines of what a marriage is, and that is between a woman and a man. Amen. I don't believe in same-sex marriage, because God's word doesn't support that. Say amen to that. Amen. And it doesn't mean that my love for people who may exercise that freedom in their life, it doesn't mean I don't love them. It just means that I don't agree with their relationship status. Amen. And here's the thing. It's not because I don't agree because I don't agree. I don't agree because God don't agree. Amen. Thank you for that supportive amen from the church. You know, the church is confused these days. Amen. Now, if you're engaged and you would like to attend this marriage service, that's fine. However, I'm going to ask you to stay over for the 11 o'clock, because it's designed for single people. And believe it or not, based on the word of God, you are still single. Amen. See, now some people may wonder, why do I separate our church like this? Well, years ago, I used to do marriage conferences and single seminars. And what would happen is they would be poorly attended for several reasons. You know, some of the reasons were the people who needed to be there maybe couldn't get babysitters, or maybe they couldn't get off work. And so it was a lot of preparation without reaching the maximum. So I believe in reaching the maximum. And so God gave me an idea to have this where I can separate our two services and minister to each relationship group for the areas they need it. And here's the beautiful thing. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people will not go to counseling. And so I use this opportunity to do marriage counseling right here. And so some of the things that I would say in the back, if I was counseling you, I'm going to say them here. However, I'm going to use a filter. Because I know we have some students that might be in the room. I'm going to say it very discreetly. And if you don't catch it, ask your neighbor on your way out and they'll probably explain it to you. Okay. All right. So this series that we're going to be doing is entitled Let's Fight. Look at your spouse and say, let's fight. Now they probably thinking, we're already doing that, Pastor. Well, the reason I felt led to name this, and this was months ago, is because in a lot of cases, couples have not learned how to properly, spiritually, biblically, and with maturity handle issues that come in their relationship. And so, if you're taking notes, they should have given you some. Our message title today is Recognizing the Real Enemy. Recognizing the Real Enemy. And the purpose of the message is to help couples see who the real enemy is in our relationship so that we're not fighting each other, but we're fighting the enemy and not ourselves. So the first point, if you're taking notes, is we must recognize the enemy. We must recognize the enemy. Lots of times in marital relationships, we're very slow to recognize the enemy. And you cannot fight against something that you don't recognize. Recently, I was on my way to a lunch appointment and a lady hit me in the parking lot. I was on my way to the area where I was going to park, and she backed out and she hit me. Well, as I was sitting in my car waiting for the police to arrive, this older gentleman walks up. My door was open. He walked up to my door and came. He passed my personal space. I mean, he was past my personal space. And, you know, I had, you know, Johnny under my seat. My arms are long. I can reach for them. You never know. I got them. So I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? He came real close to me. And watch this. He said, sir, I can witness that she hit you. And I said to myself, you almost witnessed me hitting you. I did not recognize he was trying to help me. And so many times in relationships, we can't resist the enemy because we don't recognize him coming. So the first point is we must recognize the enemy. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And some of these verses, you've heard them before, but I want you to hear them with an open heart. Watch what it says in the King James. Be sober. Now just look at your spouse and say, you need to stop drinking. Now see, some of y'all, that's your problem for real. In fact, I'm gonna ask you to do it again. See, they can't get mad at you because it's me asking you to tell them. So look at your spouse again and say, you need to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Listen to the ERV translation. It says, control yourselves. Look at your spouse and just tell them you need to control yourself. Control yourself and be careful. Watch this there, church. He says, the devil is your enemy. Everybody say, the devil is my enemy. He said, the devil is your enemy, and he goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to attack and eat. I want you to notice that verse clearly told us who the enemy was. It says in the King James that your adversary is the devil. Now, I want you to notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that your adversary was your husband. It didn't say that your adversary was your wife. It didn't say that your adversary was your ex's or your adversary was your spouse's ex's. No, it said your adversary was who? Was the devil. And I like how the ERV version said it. It said, control yourself because the devil is your enemy. Because a lot of times the devil comes in based on how we act. Well, okay. I'll get an amen from the single people when they come. So let's start the series off by making it clear that that is who the enemy is. Because if you don't make your mind up and believe that now, you'll start fighting each other when the real enemy is the devil. Say amen to that. So how are we going to do that? Well, how are we going to recognize when the devil comes, when the enemy comes, when the adversary comes? Well, what's interesting is we just read verse 8. But then verse 7 tells us something and verse 9 tells us something. So I want you to listen now to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read now verses 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So now this verse is before the verse that we read. In other words, when we read, control yourselves, the devil is your enemy or he's your adversary, it says before that for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? It says in due season, he will raise us up. But then watch what now verse 9 says, because it puts the icing on the cake, which bleeds us into our second point. But verse 9 tells us to resist steadfast in the faith. So point 2 is, after we recognize who the enemy is, who's the enemy, church? He's the devil. Then number 2 is, now we must resist the enemy. It's not just good enough to know who he is. It's not just good enough to recognize when he's coming, but we have to learn to resist him. Now, 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom resist? Now, the context of this is the enemy. Whom we resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know that your marriage issue is not the first one a married couple has ever went through? Amen. I'm pretty sure in this whole room, those who are watching, there are some married couples that have gone through some infidelity issues. I'm pretty sure there are some that have gone through some ex issues. I'm pretty sure there are some in here that have gone through some children parenting issues. I'm pretty sure there are some of you who are in here that have gone through some lying issues. You don't have to say amen. You don't have to. It's understood. But notice he tells us that we must resist the devil. Watch this now. With our faith. Because you cannot resist the devil with your flesh. Amen. So what about the enemy should we be resisting? There are some ways that we need to resist him. And so that's what we're going to talk about right here. How do we resist the devil? Because it tells us we need to resist him by faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is our trust and belief in God's word. So you cannot say you are resisting if you are not resisting by way of the word. So how do you resist him? You got to first know his ways. See, there's certain things about the devil that's not going to change. There's certain ways about him that he did it back then. He did it before. He going to do it again, right? So John 10:10 kind of tells us how he deals with things. It says, the thief comes not but to what? Steal. And what else? To kill. And what else? and destroy. So right there, that just tells us that is what the enemy is going to do. So when you see stealing, when you see killing, when you see destroy, now some of us are saying, well, how does that relate to marriage? When you see a change in a negative way in communication, that's a form of killing. Because you can't have a healthy relationship without having healthy communication. Say amen to that. And I'm going to have a lesson on communication, but it looks like I may end up having a two-part message. Because in most cases, it's the lack of communication or the communication that was misunderstood is what challenges relationships. And so the devil, he can steal that way. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if I see those things coming, then I know, okay, I'm dealing with the enemy. And anything that will produce this kind of fruit, what kind of fruit? Stealing, killing, destroying. If it's going to produce that kind of fruit, guess what? Then I know I need to start resisting. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 tells us things that we need to do to resist. It says, when you are angry, don't let it carry you into sin. Don't let the sun set with your anger in your heart or give the devil room to work. So right there, that tells us right there that how we handle anger will determine if we let the devil in or not. Amen. You know, as men, you know, men, most of us don't communicate enough. Okay. We kind of let things happen and we let it boil up. And then, you know, we become volcanoes when, you know, next thing you know, we letting them have it. Okay. Well, I think we could resist that if we would just communicate on the front end. Now, I was talking recently to a man, and he said the reason he does not communicate when things bother him is because he know it is going to create an environment where he's not ready to interrupt his peace. I got a strong man over here. Most men, If it is going to interrupt their peace, then they tend to not say anything. The problem is, that's not a long-term solution to a problem. Because if you don't say something, because it might interrupt your peace, you're going to end up feeling like you don't want a peace. See how I slid that in there? See how I slid that? Under that. That was discreet. That was discreet. Do y'all agree that was discreet? Yeah, no. And sometimes couples wonder how they end up in a non-intimate relationship. It's because somebody has decided to either not communicate because they don't want to interrupt their peace, not knowing that's not really peace. That's just temporary non-conflict. Or we may communicate, but how we let it out. That's why it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger in your heart to give the devil room to work. And that's how we do it. You give the devil room to work based on how you handle the conflict. Listen to now in the King James. It says the Amplified. The King James says neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified says, and do not give the devil an opportunity, listen, to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. That's how you let him in. It's okay to be angry. It just said don't sin doing it. Amen. It's okay to be mad. Don't just let that anger turn that madness into madness, where you're throwing pots, throwing pans. And if you don't watch it when you're angry, you will make covenants with yourself, not knowing that you're making covenants with the enemy. So like when you're mad, that's not a good time to talk to yourself. Now, if you want to talk to yourself based on the word, that's fine. That ain't what I'm talking about. And you know that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the time to say stuff like, well, I ain't gonna never do that no more. I ain't doing nothing for her. I ain't doing nothing for him. See, when you see what happens is now, that's when anger causes you to sin. And listen, Adam and Eve showed us that sin corrupts communication and intimacy. It may not have corrupted intimacy with them, but it did with God. Their relationship with God was interrupted due to some sin. Say amen to that. And so if you don't watch it, you'll make agreements and covenants with yourself when you're mad. But notice he says, don't give yourself a long time. So I want us, as we go through this whole series, to start making some agreements. That's how, our counselors say, if you don't have them gone to counseling, you need to go to counseling. But one of the main things that our counselor says is, make new agreements. So here's a new agreement that I want you to make today with your spouse. And it's biblical. And that is, let's not let 24 hours go by before we talk about it. And if you need some time, let them know. But you can't let them know, I need some time, and then, 2025 done rolled in. No. If you need time, you need to stay within the framework of the word, because the longer you stay silent, the faster the devil comes in. Listen, one of the reasons the enemy was able to bamboozle Eve, y'all know Eve, right? He was able to bamboozle her. You know why? Because she was having unauthorized conversations with him. You can't have unauthorized conversations with the devil and it not affect your relationship. So here it is. She was negotiating. She's talking to the devil, and I'm assuming that Adam heard it. But that's when you have to now tell it on the devil, tell it on yourself, and just tell your spouse, you know what? The devil told me to slap you, but I'm not going to do it. Whoa. So we have to resist him with his ways. Here's the second way we're going to resist him. We're going to resist his words. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. When you look up that word subtle, it means sly. He was sly. He was slick. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now I want you to notice that he was very thoughtful in why he chose to talk to Eve. Because he could have said it to Adam too. But he was very thoughtful. And so you got to realize, when the enemy's coming, there's a reason why. He's already filtered through some things. He's already processed it to see who can he push the button on first. So he said to the woman, has God said you can't eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, and you will know good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took the fruit. She did eat it, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And so they sewed fig trees together. So here's the thing. We're going to have to, if we're going to resist the devil, we have to resist his words, because he talks in thoughts. I'm going to say that again. We have to learn how to resist the devil's words, because he talks in thoughts. He doesn't talk necessarily like you're hearing me. He's talking with words through thoughts. And the bad part is, if you don't discern and recognize whose thoughts they are, then you will take these thoughts as if they were yours, or as if they were your spouse's, and the spouse ain't saying nothing like that. But that's what you heard. So you got to resist it. And you know what? The person who best fits resisting the enemy and his words is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says in verse 1, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And during that time, the Bible says the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. He said this to Jesus. Well, how do you think he said it to Jesus, church? He said it through thoughts. That's why the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Well, how do strongholds take place? Strongholds take place when words are said and then words are believed. So here it is. The devil says to him, hey, turn these stones to be made bread, because I know you're hungry. But I love Jesus' response, which should be ours, because the only way you and I are going to successfully resist the devil, watch this, by faith, because that's what 1 Peter told us to do. Listen what Jesus said. He says, no, the scriptures say. Look at your spouse and say, the scriptures say. I dare you say that in the middle of a heated discussion. The scriptures say. Try it and tell me what happens, okay? Jesus said, the scriptures say. Then verse 5, it says the devil took him up to the holy city, to the highest point. And he says, if you're the Son of God, jump off. But then he even now quotes the scripture. For the scripture says, Jesus, he will order his angels to protect you, to the point where you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And watch what Jesus says in verse 7, because the way you're going to resist the devil, you're going to resist his ways, and you're going to resist his what? Words. Everybody say, I got to resist his ways. I got to resist his words. Well, how do I resist his words like Jesus did? Watch now Jesus' response. He says in verse 7, verse 10, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. Read this part with me, church. For the scriptures say, say it again. For the scriptures say, the script, because why? The devil does not listen to nothing but the word. That's it. He's not paying attention to how you feel. He only responds to the word. And you got to get to a point where you know that that's what he will respect. He does not respect nothing else but the word. He's got to respect the blood. Okay? Because the blood is what freed us from our sins. But he's got to respect the word. And many times we're not saying the word. So then watch now verse 10. Well, look in verse 9. Well, look in verse 8. Next, the devil took him to a peak, very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he says, I will give this to you, he says, if you will kneel down and worship me. And watch what Jesus says. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. Read it with me, church. For the scriptures say. Say it again. The scripture says you must worship the Lord your God. Now, I want you to pay close attention to verse 11, because if I don't say nothing else today, you need to get this. What's the first word in verse 11? What is it, church? Then when? Then after Jesus said to him, how many times? Three times. What did he say to him? But the scriptures say, then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. What's my point, church? My point is this. Resist the devil and he will what?
Flee.
But if I'm not resisting him in a biblical way, that doesn't mean he's gonna flee. It didn't say resist him one time. It didn't say resist him two times. It didn't say resist him three times. It just said to do what? Resist. But if I resist long enough, what's going to happen? And he will flee. So listen, if the devil's still in it, keep resisting. Amen. So we're going to resist his ways. We're going to resist his words. And then here's another thing we're going to do as a couple. We're going to resist his accusations. Because the devil will lie to you about your spouse. Listen to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, which accused them before God, our God, day and night. So listen, if the devil has enough boldness to accuse you before God, don't you think he's going to accuse your spouse to you? And if you don't watch it, you will hear these accusations and get in agreement with them. If you notice, it says that he is the accuser of the brethren. So one of the ways you got to resist him is if he brings non-biblical descriptions of your spouse to you, you got to resist that. That's an accusation. He don't love me. Accusation. He said, well, pastor, he told me he didn't. Okay, let's deal with that. Can we deal with that? The first point was we have to recognize the enemy. Apparently he loved you or he wouldn't have married you. I'm pretty sure at some point in time he has said to you he loved you. But see, what we do, we measure what a person means by how mad they are when they said it. Now, I know you're saying, well, they shouldn't have said it out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speak. Yeah, but you know what? Just like God uses people, the devil does too. And at that moment, when he said it that one time, I don't love you no more, you see, you didn't recognize the enemy. You was like, he meant that. So you know what? I'm gonna help you mean that. Can you recognize the accusations when the devil sends them? Can I tell you how you know when you have believed the accusations? When your action towards your spouse changes. When you start treating them funny. Y'all know what funny is. Somewhere you done got in agreement with an accusation. Say amen to that, church. So now let's talk about what we need to do. As a result of the enemy, we must remember now, this is point three, we must remember and recite what God has done. Because what happens is, as couples, sometimes we get marital amnesia. That's when we forget about all the good times. Good times. These are the good times. Y'all know that song, right? How many know that song? Let me see here. Yeah. We forget all about the good times. And we zero in on this one situation. That we'll make this one situation the whole situation. And what we do, we forget. And so what we have to do is we have to remember and recite what God has done. You know, it's wonderful because I use it as an opportunity to witness to people. I met a lady, I already knew her. First lady and I had lunch this week with Pastor Diego and Pastor Asia. So they just wanted to have lunch with us and us mentor them and just encourage them. And they really just came to just let us know how grateful they are. They even brought us a gift and all that type of stuff. But when they came, one of our members was there having lunch with someone. And I asked the member, I was like, do I know them? And they was like, I don't think you know them. And the person spoke up and said, oh yeah, you married me in 2010. I was like, really? And she told me who it was. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Ooh, that was years ago. Like years ago. Right? Well, watch this now. I noticed she didn't have a ring on. So I said, how y'all doing? I mean, I can't assume she could have forgot her ring that morning, you know? I'm not going to be like, well, what you do wrong? No, I said, so how y'all doing? And she says, we're not married anymore. And so I took that opportunity. I said, I understand that. I do. I went through that. But I use opportunities like that to now share what God has done. And I'll tell you in a minute. And I don't care if you watch the podcast, I'm still going to finish my story. Right? Well, watch this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. I'm almost done here. It says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, and the accuser of his brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And watch verse 11. Here's the point. And they overcame him. Overcame who? The accuser. The only way you're going to overcome accusations about your spouse, you're going to have to open up your mouth. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And watch this, church. And by the word of their testimony. If you have to repeat what God has done in your married life to yourself out loud to the devil, and your spouse walk in and wonder why you're talking to yourself, you know, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the accuser of the brethren. And you know what I'm saying to him? I'm saying that Bible says whom God has joined together, who can pull us apart? And God joined us together and you ain't going to be able to pull us apart. When they start, listen, if you're a man and he starts trying to accuse your wife to you, no. The Bible says I'm supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. And Lord, I thank you for the strength and the power for me to love her like Jesus did. I thank you, Lord, that I'm committed that I will die for her. I'm not ready to die tonight, Lord, but I'm going to die for her. Not right now, but I'm ready. But it's your testimony. You might have to go back. Because I'm going to tell you something. He is going to accuse your spouse. What do accusations sound like? Give me some audience participation. What do accusations sound like? Sounds like, okay, I'm going to throw the first one out. She don't love me. That's one. Okay, give me another. I'm not in love anymore. That's an accusation. And then, don't let something that has happened, that shouldn't have happened, happen to confirm that. Give me some more. Who? He don't love me no more. They don't care. Boy, that one's spitting out real fast. They don't care. She ain't the one. Wow. She used to be. She used to be my girl. Y'all see, I can tell I've been listening old school. She ain't the one. Come on, help me. She don't appreciate me. Wow. When you haven't taken the time to even explain what appreciation to you looks like. Give me a couple more. Whoa. He raised his hand. That was me. She's cheating. She can't care if she's cheating. Now, these are accusations. Watch this now. That you have no facts about, but you got plenty of feelings about it. And let me tell you something about your feelings. They do change. And so, here's how I want to close. I want us to, first of all, here's the question in my closing. What lie has the enemy told you that you have accepted as a truth? Number two, how do we apply this? Keep your spiritual guard up by refusing to accept anything negative about your spouse. And then close every door that can lead to divorce. Cause see, once divorce is an option, once it's an option, then in your mind, then I'm not taking it all. It ain't for better or for worse. It's for better until you make me mad enough. So here's what I want us to do. I feel like some agreements need to be made today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, these are personal, individual agreements. You need to make some new ones. So, Pastor, what do you mean by agreements? I mean, these are almost vow type communications toward yourself. And then the agreement that I want you all to make as a couple, I've already said one of them, which is don't let 24 hours go by without resolving it. And then if you need more room, more time, go back to them and ask for a certain amount of time, but it can't go past. We can't keep going 2 and 3 days. No, agree. Make that agreement. In fact, on your way home today, talk about what that time frame needs to look like. But here's the individual agreement that I want you to make with yourself. That you're no longer going to accept anything negative or any type of accusation against your spouse. You're not going to accept that no more. You're not going to accept it. I'm refusing that. I'm refusing to believe this about her, this about him. I'm refusing that. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're the only person who's inside of each one of us that's able to help us, strengthen us, and keep us. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will somehow communicate to each person in the room areas where they need to make some agreements in. But the one that we're focusing on today, God, is that we're going to agree to not accept any negative accusations against our spouse. And Lord, today, whatever negative accusation that we have believed or accepted, we bring it down in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over that. And Father, I pray that you will somehow renew hearts, renew minds, renew thinking, renew attitudes. So that, Lord, when they leave today, they'll be able to leave with a new attitude. David said, create in me a new heart, a clean heart. And I pray that you will clean hearts up in this area, that we will no longer accept negative accusations and thoughts against our spouse. And I pray that when the devil tries to come and speak these lying whispers, that we will recognize those thoughts and we will do just like Jesus said and say the scripture says. And I thank you for each couple in here, that you're going to do a new thing in their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And every head still bowed. If you're here today and you need salvation, you need to rededicate your life. If you're here today.